Advocates for a municipally owned broadband service in Seattle got a little setback last week. An independent analyst says it could cost the city more than $500 million to build its own gigabit fiber network. And the consultant says in order to make a municipal broadband service viable, it would need an incredibly high rate of subscribers to choose it over Comcast or CenturyLink or some other provider. Todd Bishop, editor of online news site GeekWire, is back with us. And this is a lot of stuff, a dense study. You read it, so we didn't have to.
Absolutely. And the gist is the cost is less than past estimates have indicated. But in fact, it's still too much for the city to be able to pull off on its own.
Well, the range was $400 to $668 million.
And a lot of that has to do with whether or not this new hypothetical municipal broadband utility could share space on the Seattle City Light public power lines. And that is one big question that is the main reason for the big difference in the gap in the estimate.
We've seen a lot of different studies over the past decade or so over the viability of a municipal service. Who commissioned this particular study?
This was commissioned by the city. Mayor Ed Murray's very much on board with this idea in concept of pursuing a municipal broadband network. And the main findings were that this would be too expensive for the city to pursue on its own. And so that leaves open the idea of either federal or state funding or possibly going out and finding a private partner to work with, which has had mixed results in the past, or a property tax, which is something that it's a double-edged sword.
I want to take a step back here because what is a gigabit broadband service as opposed to the kind of service that we've got right now?
So it's many thousands of times faster. It's just much faster. And the other thing that this does is a lot of times the connection will be symmetrical. So in other words, you're not only downloading at a gigabit, but you're also uploading at a gigabit. So that becomes very important when you start talking about things like online backups and uploads of videos and all sorts of things that are important, not just for homes and residences, but also for businesses, very critically.
Now, both CenturyLink and Comcast, which are the two, I guess, major providers in our area, say that they are incrementally beefing up gigabit service here. So why are some people advocating for a municipal broadband service?
So the municipal broadband service would have as its goal serving essentially every residence and business. And the other issue is you would not be faced with some of the pricing games that a lot of the commercial providers institute. For example, right now CenturyLink is advertising $79.95 gigabit internet in Seattle. You see it all over. But there is so much more to it. If you actually want that deal, you have to sign up for a bundle that also includes $45 a month of telephone service. So the idea here is that if you look at other places around the country that have rolled out municipal broadband, it is just a straightforward flat, for example, $70 a month.
There are two numbers that are being floated around for the municipal service. One was $70 a month. Another was $43 a month.
Right. 45, 75.
45.
Yeah. So that is the main difference of adding in the property tax. If Seattle's property owners and voters decide that this is worth a levy on top of every other levy we have, then that would essentially subsidize the service and bring the price down from about $75 to about $45.
As we've been saying, Todd, the analyst cited these two major financial hurdles, how expensive it is to build this system, and then what level of subscribership is necessary, which is a bigger challenge?
Both. Very much. Those are the two main hurdles. And on the second hurdle, the idea that you need 43% of the city to subscribe to this, which is just astronomical if you look at any kind of service. The problem there is the incumbent providers would be naturally inclined, Comcast and CenturyLink, to come in and undercut the city network and make it much harder for the city to have a financially viable project. And so it's really a catch-22, and it's a very difficult prospect for city leaders right now.
I'm talking to GeekWire's Todd Bishop, and we're talking about the possibility, the distant possibility, it seems at this point, that the city of Seattle could run a gigabit broadband service. And a couple of the city officials that you spoke with for your reporting cited the expansion of both CenturyLink and Comcast networks here. It's one thing to expand the service. Would that solve the affordability problem?
No, and that is the big issue that still remains. The other thing is, just as an experiment yesterday, I went on one of the real estate websites to look at homes for sale, and I was like, well, if I'm looking for a home that I could buy and get gigabit service through CenturyLink, what are the chances? And it took me upwards of an hour entering addresses. And so it's just, it's still very, as much as they're rolling out, and they say they're going to be able to reach 100,000 homes by the end of the year, it's still very sporadic. And the commercial rollouts are not the same as what a municipal broadband would be.
Do you have a sense that Seattle voters would actually go for property tax to fund lower cost broadband?
I think that it's at least worth discussing. I don't know if this would be something that folks would be amenable to. You know, you look at the $900 million transportation levy that Mayor Murray is thinking about coming out with, and, you know, that would result in monthly payments, you know, right around $275. I should say $275 a year increase in property taxes. You know, the broadband is about half that. So you can think, well, on a yearly basis, I'd be paying about in property taxes what I'm paying in a month to Comcast now. So if it was positioned right, you could see it working. But one more property tax could be hard to swallow.
So that's broadband. Just briefly, Microsoft lobbed a ball into the video game court this morning.
It was a bomb.
give us a headline.
Yep. Microsoft is making the Xbox One, its new console, or its latest console, compatible with Xbox 360 games. So you'll be able to put in an Xbox 360 disc, and then the Xbox One will download a digital copy that you can play. Big news for gamers, big news for Microsoft. It removes a major hurdle for people upgrading from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One.
So you'll be able to play the games that you couldn't play on Xbox One?
That's right, the ones that you originally bought for Xbox 360.
And is this going to make the Xbox One competitive with PlayStation?
Certainly more competitive. You know, Sony has really been running away with the market so far this generation, and this makes the Xbox, I think, a much more viable competitor.
Todd Bishop is the co-founder and editor of the online tech news site GeekWire. He joins us every other Monday on The Record, and we could probably talk for an hour about tech news, but that's the time today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Marcy.